Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this series we're calling A Few Neglected Fruit. And again, the premise is of the nine fruit of the Spirit that are listed in Galatians, I looked at that list and saw six of them and thought, you know what? We're doing okay on those six. At least we talk about those six a good bit. There were six of them that I identified as kind of like parts of our regular life and discipleship here at the church and a part of prayer room culture. And then I saw three that I just thought, you know what? Those three aren't ones that we talk about much. I'm not saying that we get a zero on the test on those, but they're just not ones that we really give much focus to. I said, you know what? Let's just spend three sessions, and let's just hit each one of those, talk about them, talk about what they look like expressed in our midst, and ask the Lord for a fresh wind into this church to be able to embrace those three fruit. And so last week, we looked at gentleness. And I was challenged. I know by having a number of conversations with some of you this past week that many of you were challenged and just realizing, oh my gosh, it's so easy to neglect the fruit of being gentle with one another. Just by talking about it last week, it's been highlighted to us. And I think if nothing else happens in this series, that's good stuff. Just to have some things highlighted and remind us about, oh yeah, it's good to be gentle and to be kind with one another. And so as we did with the last session in our introduction, we started with looking at the way that the Lord leads us in gentleness and then asks gentleness of us. And we'll follow a similar pattern tonight as we'll look at the way that the Lord leads us in kindness. He's so kind to us. And that then he's got a heart response that he's asking from us that we would reflect that kindness in our interactions with one another. And so the Lord's calling us to do the same. Well, what I wanted to do just for a minute here is because these two fruit, they have a significant similarities. Really, all the fruit of the Spirit kind of flow together. It's really difficult sometimes to figure out where one ends completely and the next one starts. But I think with these two, kindness and gentleness, there's some significant connection points. And so first off, both kindness and gentleness deal with our interactions. They deal with the areas of our interaction with one another. But I would liken gentleness more to be about our tone in our dealings with one another. The tone, the way that it just kind of the overall spirit of the way that we're interacting with one another, I'd relate to gentleness. And I'd say that kindness is going to actually be more the expression of actions and words and deeds. Both of them have a similar root. They're both dealing with our interactions. But last week, we were more talking about the tone in which we relate to one another, in which the Lord relates to us. And tonight, we're talking more about the actions, the way that we actually, you know, the things we say and things we do and ways that we interact at that level. Gentleness, I would equate more to like interior motives to win a heart. You know, we're being gentle with another person, and many times it's because they're on the defensive or they're hurting or they just need that tender touch. And it's interior motives that we're looking at. It's more kind of a hidden. It's a little bit more covert. It's a little more subtle gentleness, whereas kindness is out loud. It's more visible. You wouldn't necessarily know if you're looking, you know, at two people across the room if they're being gentle to one another. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily know. You could maybe guess. But if they were being kind to one another, it'd be a little bit more obvious because it's outward. It's a little bit more, you know, obvious in that sense. I would liken the opposite of gentleness to harshness. We were looking at that last week in the ways that the Lord wants to deal with us in gentleness and tenderness. But I would look at the opposite of kindness, not so much as meanness, but neglect. I would look at the opposite of kindness as lack of kindness, just neglectfulness of kindness. Meanness would fall in there, but I think probably we're a little bit more polished than going around being mean to everybody all the time. It's probably not our MO. But I think there's probably a significant amount of neglect that probably occurs. And so I want to look at the opposite of kindness as neglect or neglectfulness. So let's look at the way that he deals with us. He deals with us in kindness. Let's look at this. This first verse, what is it? I'm kind of halfway between two pages here. Luke 6:35. Look at this. The way that God deals with us. This is good news because he deals with us so kindly. The Lord deals with us in great kindness. He's even kind to those that are ungrateful to him. I mean, this is model right here. If you're talking about the kind-hearted man, he looks at people who are ungrateful, wicked, angry, bitter, resentful, and crucifying him. And he looks at them as a mission field to be kind to. Oh, I cannot wait to be kind to you today. I'm just thinking about the guy on the cross. He's been hurling insults at him. You know, I mean, he's been just, this guy has been heaping abuse on Jesus. And Jesus turns with kindness and speaks words of life to him. And I mean, that is just, that's a real man right there. Take that opportunity to bless those who curse you. And so Jesus says this is the way that he deals with people and the way that he calls us his kindness. He says, love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And your reward will be great and you will be called children of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Says, you want to be like God? You want to enter into the depths of maturity? You want to experience what God is like and be a reflection of that? God loves to find opportunities to be kind to wicked people, to be kind to those that hate him, to be kind to atheists, to be kind to the people that are just so mean, like, oh my gosh. And this is Jesus saying, you be like that. You could just imagine the disciples going, I don't want to be like that. He says, because God's like that. Aren't you glad he was kind to you when you were so ungrateful last week? I don't mean when you were lost. I mean, the Lord is so kind to us. This is the way he relates to us. He looks at us with our bad attitudes, with our lack of trust. I mean, do we really have any leg to stand on why we don't trust him in the current crisis situation we're facing? Do we have any leg when he has been so faithful, so true, every single time before? I mean, it's his kindness to tolerate that temperament. It's his kindness to look at that and go, I love you. I'll work with you. I mean, that is just so kind. This is his nature. It's how he deals with us. It's everyday interaction. It's the character and nature of God. He's so kind. I love this. This is so strengthening. When we know that this is the way of our Father, when we know this is how he interacts, when we know this is his default line of thinking about us, his default line of thinking isn't anger or aggression or resentment or judgment. His default is kindness because he has such good perspective. He sees the end from the beginning. He understands the weakness of our frame. And he's kind. He's just a glad-hearted God. He's filled with so much kindness. He's able to put up with so much of the opposite. It's unbelievable. This is who he is. So I just tell you, if you're feeling condemnation and feel like God is angry or mad or that he's disappointed or whatever, I mean, if you've got an area that you need to repent of, repent now that that's over, because that takes 10 seconds. Now that that's over, would you just feel his kindness? Would you just know that you're loved and that he's forgiven a whole lot worse than whatever it is that you did or didn't do? I mean, his kindness, this is his MO. He's got kindness abounding. Oh, I love him. I love him. He's so kind. Well, kindness is the way of love. We know that God is love. Kindness is the way of love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. This is one of the rails on which the expression of love rides. So there may be a multiple, but when love is shown, one of the primary ways that love is expressed, that love is made known, that love is seen, experienced, shown, is through kindness. Look at this. You guys know the passage, 1 Corinthians 13, this love passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is kind. You can't have love divorced from kindness. And kindness, again, is going to be expressed in actions and in words, and it's going to be outward. It's love. God is defining, Paul is using this opportunity to define love. So the Lord is using this apostle to help us give clarity about what love looks like, how it operates. One of the ways that love operates is in kindness shown from one human being to another, from God to us, from us to each other, is this reality that love is kind. I think about that, and it helps to give some language about where this is going to go. Kindness is one of the primary ways that love is expressed. So as we'll start to look at a little bit here in some of these verses and ideas here in this next section or two, we're going to see that if kindness is an area that we're not really good at, we really want to assess that. We don't want to leave that one be. If kindness is something that's not like really our thing, it's kind of like, well, I've been kind before, but I don't know that people would know me as Mr. or Mrs. Kind Guy or Gal. I mean, it's like, it's something we really want to pay attention to because love is kind. Love expresses itself through kindness. It's the way that love is seen, felt, experienced. Not the only, but one of the primary ways that love is experienced and expressed is through kindness. Oh, okay. So called to kindness. Now that we see the way that the Lord interacts with us, and we see the nature of kindness there, let's look at the way that God orchestrates his entire kingdom is to employ kindness in order to expand his initiatives, in order to grow the kingdom, in order for the kingdom to operate one to another. The Lord uses kindness as one of the primary ways that he wants his kingdom to expand. Kindness is one of those kingdom distinctives that he wants to be mainstream amongst his people. So he doesn't just want his people saved and delinquent. He wants his people walking with him, experiencing his kindness and reflecting his kindness. God was kind to you, so be kind to one another. This reflection of the kindness of God, he wants it to be mainstream. I think so many times that we look at the fruit of the Spirit and it's like, well, I've kind of got a few of them that I'm good at. And those other ones I'm not so interested in. I mean, I don't want to like avoid them, but I'm not really trying to grow in those areas. The issue of kindness is to be one of the main ways that the kingdom of God operates. And you know, if love is kind, and Jesus said, you'll know my disciples by their love, then there's this real argument that could be made that the way that God wants his kingdom run is for the people of God to be kind to one another in order that everybody could see that's where God is. God's in their midst. It produces unity. I mean, the fruit of kindness is unending. But kindness is it's decisions one after another, after another, after another. So I want to just define kindness. I took a little bit out of a couple of dictionaries and just kind of put together a little definition. I would say the easiest definition of kindness is Rhoda. That's what the dictionary says, Rhoda. I mean, I just think about kindness and I'm like, where did that girl come from? She is so kind to everybody all the time. And the two times since I've known her that she wasn't kind, she repented. And was like, I mean, she went after it. She was like, I'm so sorry. That wasn't a kind thing to say. And I'm like, I think you said that one shoelace was longer than the other. Like, I'm sorry, that wasn't kind. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I saved? Do I know the Lord? I mean, she is so kind, right? Well, let me give you a little bit of a definition here. Kindness is the quality of being friendly, of being considerate, of showing concern, of caring for others through our actions, our words, and our interactions. Being kind requires that we be vulnerable and generous with our heart, where we express warmth and show affection for those around us. Ooh, this got personal quick, right? We went deep. This is ooey gooey. I mean, this is emotional, like at its very core. And it's the way that God wants to interact with us, and it's the way he wants us interacting with each other. But when you think about that, like, isn't that what the Lord has done for us? Hasn't he been very friendly to us? I call you friends. though you were my enemies and deserve hell. I call you friends. Well, that's kind of friendly. I mean, being considerate. The Lord has just been so kind in his consideration of us. I mean, I just think about the things that he gives me that are not my necessities for life. Air, shelter, food. It's like good food. I get to eat good food. I was very considerate, Lord. I mean, he goes above and beyond. He thinks about the way that we are. I know so many stories in this church of ways that the Lord has known you and come to you and dealt with you just how you needed and given something to you that was very considerate of you. That's how he does. Showing concern, caring for others through our interactions requires us to be vulnerable and generous with our heart. Think about the kindest things that people have done or said. One of the words that you would mark with that interaction is sincerity. And sincerity requires emotion. It requires being vulnerable. I mean, when you're sincere, you're not like a rock, emotionless rock. You're being generous with your emotions. Maybe with your pocketbook too, but you're being generous with your emotions, with your affections, with your words. You're being vulnerable because you're saying stuff and somebody might like call you out on it and be like, you know, that's weird, or I don't like that. Love scorned kind of a deal, you know? To be kind requires a measure of vulnerability because you don't know how they're going to respond. Maybe they won't respond negatively. Maybe they'll just respond neutral to you. I mean, who likes that, right? You do something really kind. You go way out of your way. You spend the time, the money, the energy, whatever. And it's just like forgotten or whatever. Well, before we point the finger, we've probably done it all to somebody else too. You know, probably more than we've had it done to us. I mean, just thinking about this, like, but it requires a measure of vulnerability. And this generous with our emotions, that phrase as I was doing this study, that just kept coming up in my spirit, being generous with our emotions, with the giving of ourselves, with the giving of our heart. So we want to clothe ourselves in kindness. We looked at this verse last week as it related to gentleness, but now let's look at it again, Colossians 3:12, as it relates to another fruit of the Spirit, kindness. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, it's time to clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, to clothe yourself. And as I used that example last week, the idea of somebody walking in with a very brightly colored shirt, you know, we probably all seen somebody walk in before with like all yellow or something. It's like, do not stare directly into the shirt. It's a very obvious. It's not, it is the conversation topic that night of whatever room that person walked into. It's a very obvious thing. They clothed themselves with yellow and there's no missing it. While somebody else might have a thread of yellow or a plaid that's got some yellow in it, that person is clothed in yellow and it is obvious. It is overt. And so what we want to do is we want to clothe ourselves in kindness. This is to be worn outwardly. It's to be obvious and to be purposeful. It's not something that we do from time to time. We don't want kindness or a kind act or a kind word to be the kind of thing that happens from time to time in our life. We want to wear it all day. You're at the grocery store. You're in line at the wherever. You're at the gas station. You're at church. You're in your small group. You're with your spouse. It's on us. It's a cologne that doesn't go anywhere that we wear all day. We want that to be that way. It's one of the traits of our everyday life, kindness. Now, again, I think everybody in this room operates in a measure of kindness. I want to provoke us to up it. And really, part of my motive is so selfish. I like it when you're kind to me. And the more, I mean, if we just preach on it, maybe you'll be more kind to me. I'll be more kind to you. We'll like each other more. People will like it when they come to visit. Like, have you been to Foreigner Fellowship? You mean kind church? I went there one time. Glorious. And so I want us to think about this, that we're to be kind to everyone in all of our interactions. It's not reserved for some select number of people. It's the person on the street that we don't know. It's the people that we're at arm's length with in our life. It's everywhere. And leaders are to be kind, maybe kind to all, and maybe even kind above all. You guys probably know this verse in 2 Timothy 2:24, but I want to relate it to a small group church. a church that is raising up small group leaders. Many of you have roles of leadership either in this church or at the prayer room or in some sphere. And here's what 2 Timothy says. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind, must be kind to everyone. This being kind to everyone. You know, one of the things that's interesting about leadership is it's a lot easier to be kind when you're not in the crosshairs because you kind of get to pick how much interaction you have with certain people. But when you're in leadership, they decide. Them, the biting sheep, decide when they're going to interact with you, and your response is to be kind. It's kind with those that you are in great relationship and rapport with. It's kind that, with those that aren't. And everybody who's in leadership, again, the Lord's servant, must be kind to everyone. It's Paul telling Timothy, Timothy, I understand you're going to have moments where you're interacting with someone who is not being kind to you. You're not to answer it with anything but kindness. You're to respond to that venom, to that misunderstanding, to that ache, quarrel, pain, with kindness. Let it be said of you that when they slandered, when they attacked, when they came against, when they misunderstood, when they didn't appreciate, when they didn't... He's talking to Timothy, who's leading churches. Timothy's a young apostle, leading the church in Asia in real ways. He's saying, when they don't do what you told them to do, be kind to them. Respond to them in kindness. Let's win them in kindness. And you know, just as a little practical side point, what good does the opposite do anyway? Just get you all riled up and you can't sleep. Like, respond to them in anger, meanness, neglect, and harshness. Like, okay, now I just feel dirty. Like, I didn't get anything done. It's not like they responded to that. Maybe they won't respond to kindness either, but at least at the end of the day, I can go to sleep. I mean, this is a very practical point. Kindness is always better. Kindness just doesn't leave your soul feeling cluttered and dirty. Kindness is the way of the Lord. And it's the way that he wants us to interact with one another. Be kind to all, even when there's tension. And there is tension. It's just real. Ephesians 4:32. Look at this. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Look at the context here. This is Paul writing to Ephesus. And he's saying, I want you to be kind and compassionate to one another and forgive each other. Well, the only reason that Paul would have to say you need to forgive each other is if there's stuff that needs to be forgiven, if there's ought, if there's tension, if there's issues, if there's problems. And even if Paul wasn't speaking to specific situations, he was speaking to human nature. If you are close with people, now you can get by without having tension with people so long as you keep everybody at arm's length and don't have any real relationships. Because you can just fake it, just kind of, yeah, and smile at them and nod and then never see them again. If you so want to write them off. But when you have real relationships, when you do small group life, it is normal. It's not the devil. It's so human. It's so normal that there would be conflict, that there would be tension, there would be disagreements, there'd be rubbing each other wrong, there'd be misunderstandings. I thought you said Tuesday. I said Thursday. I said Thursday. I thought you said Tuesday. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just, that's life. When you've got friendships, relationships, small group life, family, close relationships, there's going to be tension. And Paul says, be kind. Be compassionate. You've been on the other end of that before. Don't be part of the problem now. Don't point the finger. Don't accuse. Be kind. Find a way to say what you need to say. Super nice, kind, loving. And you can still say it, but you need to forgive one another. And then he throws in the trump card for sure. He goes, you know, just as God forgave you in Christ, remember that whole you were going to go to hell thing? Let's remember the kindness and severity of God. Let's remember how kind God has been to you again and again and again. How many times you've blown it, how many times that sin that you still have not gotten full victory in yet, that you've still been plagued by for years, how many times it's sin, it's bad. God does not like it. He's not pleased. How many times you've had to come and go, oh, I can't believe I did it again. Forgive me. And he says, clean, washed, as far as the east is from the west. Forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. I'm so kind. I was hoping you'd come and talk to me. Because I could not wait to forgive you and to give you it graciously, abundantly, more than you could ever ask or imagine, again and again and again next week if you need it. That's so kind. And so Paul reminds the church, you know, what God's done you, how many times he's forgiven you, how many times he's come and shown kindness and compassion. Do that with one another. You are going to tick each other off. That's life. But you can respond to one another in kindness. I'm going to tick you off. You're going to tick me off. It's okay. That's relationship. We don't bail when somebody makes somebody mad. That's like the most immature thing we could possibly do. I mean, we work through it. We forgive one another. We love. But Paul's point, think about your response and be kind and compassionate. Respond in kindness. The conflicts are going to happen, but clothe yourself in it. That way, when that moment happens, you respond, and it's still a tense moment, but it's two people who are working through something. They're clothed in kindness for one another. They're looking out for each other's best interests, and they're expressing that love in kind words and deeds and actions. All right, well, now let's address the elephant in the room here. Kindness is not natural for most of us. Maybe Rhoda Koblenz. I mean, again, there's something different about that person. I don't know what manner of soul she is. She's something phenomenal. I had a slide, but I was like, you know what? She's so kind, she might be upset if I put the slide up. I rewrote the definition. I had the Webster's, and I had her picture there. It was great. I didn't do it, though. So anyway, kindness is not natural for most of us. In fact, what's natural for most of us, let me just give you the three that I would kind of most identify. And I want to call these either enemies or hurdles or resistance to kindness. And these things are pretty default for one of these will hit home, if not all three. The first, selfishness and self-interest. And I'll explain how that is an enemy of kindness in a second. The second is introvertedness and being quiet. If we're not careful, that can keep us from kindness. Third, busy and distracted. That can keep us from kindness. I mean, if the goal is kindness, then what is in between us and the goal? And I think for all of us, it looks a little bit different. But let's touch on these. Selfish and self-interested. Our whole world is about me, myself, and I if we're not careful. Again, default. I mean, we've all been loving Jesus for a minute, so hopefully we're a little ways down the road on this kindness thing. This is not a brand new idea to us. We've taken a couple of steps, we hope. But the reality is, if we're honest, most of us process life through the lens of how things are going to impact us. Something happens. Ooh, what's that going to do for me? Good or bad? Something happens in the news. What's that going to do to my family? I mean, most of us, if we're just honest, I mean, our first thought is me. We process it that way. Well, I think part of that is probably like God's defense mechanism in humanity so that we don't all die and, you know, see a car coming that's going too fast and just decide to walk out into traffic anyway. We immediately thought, I wonder what that car going 90 is going to do to me if I take this next step. I think it's probably healthy. We just can't stay there. We can't stay at self-interest. We gotta graduate beyond that. Philippians 2:3 says this about self-interest, about selfishness. Kindness calls us to think about their day, about their feelings, about how we can positively impact them. Look at Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Well, the way to value others above yourselves is to be thinking about how is this going to impact them? What is this going to do to their day, good or bad? What is not just what you're going to say, maybe it's just what's happening in their life, but what's going on with them? What is it that, to think about their day, to put yourself in their shoes, what's going on in their head today? How is this going to affect them? What is this situation doing to them? And how can I positively impact them? I mean, that's really the root motive of kindness. If you're going to do something kind, it probably came from, whether you thought it clearly or not, it probably came from the motive of, how can I make a positive impact in this person's life right now? What can I do? They need to be positively impacted. I just see it all over them because they're human and they're awake. So they need to be positively impacted right now. How can I? Well, that motive causes us to get out of self-interest, merely thinking about ourselves, and causes us to start to think about them. And I just think, man, that's not default for me. I don't all day, every day, think about everybody else's feelings and day. I got a whole lot of stuff going on between my ears that I'm trying to process. And the word of God says, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or in vain conceit, but rather in humility. So now it's like we know the Lord loves humility. One of the ways to live humility, one of the ways to express humility is to think of others as better than ourselves and to find ways that we can kindly impact them. Second, introverted and quiet. Now, God created introverts. He created extroverts too. But as an extrovert, I can certainly tell you some of the pitfalls of being an extrovert. If I don't keep myself in check, I say things I should not say. I do things I should not do. Oh, gosh, come back. Oh, I can never get that one back. I'm sorry I said that out loud. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Your mother's a very nice person. I mean, it's just like, as an extrovert, there are pitfalls. Well, as an introvert, there are pitfalls. And one of those pitfalls is a second hindrance to kindness, is that unfortunately, as an introvert, you have no excuse about this kindness issue. It's not like, well, I'm an introvert, therefore I don't have to be kind. That is false. Just like I'm an extrovert, so I don't have to tame it down and not be in your face and say obnoxious things. Probably won't work. We should try it just for a week. No, okay. No. it's not a valid excuse. We do not want to be known as an unfriendly person. You know, one of the character attributes of kindness is being friendly. And friendly can be expressed in a lot of different ways. Don't look at one person and go, that's what friendliness looks like. That's one avenue, one way. But as an introvert, there's a tendency, because of quietness and just kind of, you know, just being introverted, there's this tendency to not want to have to interact with humans. And you cannot express kindness unless you interact with people. I mean, you just can't. There's no way to do it. You actually have to interact. Now, that interaction can look a lot of different ways, but it probably looks every way, actually. And that's like an introvert's nightmare. Ah, interaction with people. And so in humility, introverts, I want to ask you to consider others better than yourself and interact with people and be kind and show kindness. And just like I have to work on kindness and I have to swing the pendulum from the other side, it's very real. But Proverbs 18:1, just look at this. You just don't want to be 18:1. An unfriendly person. Oh, unfriendly. Why is that word in the Bible? An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends. But what if the selfish ends are not, they're trying to take over the world, Pinky. They're not trying to, you know, do this or that. They're just, what if the selfish ends are simply, I don't really want to talk to people today because I. What if that's the selfish end? But an unfriendly person pursues selfish ends. I'm going to sit over here as far away from people as I can so I don't have to interact with anybody. I'm going to do this. I'm going to not put myself out there. I'm not going to be generous with my heart and with my emotions and with my interactions. I'm not going to do that. It's actually selfish ends. And against all sound judgment, they start quarrels. Now, I won't touch on that part right now, but I just, looking at that unfriendly person, like, you don't want to be known as an unfriendly person. And being an introvert doesn't get you a get-out-of-jail-free card. And so I just want to look at that as one of the hurdles. Well, the third, and I think this is all of us, and it's probably mostly my fault, is that we're busy and distracted. I mean, there's so much going on. Well, you got to be at your prayer meeting. You got to do this. We got to be at church on Sunday. Well, we got this thing we got to do. I'm going here. And then there's a birthday party. Everybody go to the birthday party. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. This is madness. This is total insanity, and it's an awesome way to live. Because we have so many positive interactions, because we have so much positive spiritual components injected into our life, Bible teaching and prayer time and small group and accountability and discipleship and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. And I mean, just it's all so great, but it does call for a busy and, if you're not careful, distracted schedule. And I just think about how most of us live as Americans. We're so busy and distracted. Everywhere we go, we're just like on a mission. I'm going into the grocery store, I'm getting one thing, and I'm getting out of there. And I'm not even looking at the cashier. Don't you say hi to me over there, greeter. I mean, it's like we're in and out. But that's how we live if we're not careful. And we can find ourselves just busy and distracted all the time. I want to tell you, I had the coolest thing happen the other day. I'm trying to do this kindness thing. I'm trying. And so I'll tell you this. It's intentional moments. You probably won't be kind on accident for most of us. It's being intentional. Stop. It's kind time. Someone will be my victim. I will kind them well. Lord, who and what? I mean, you got to think about it. You got to like actually be intentional. And I had one of these moments at the library the other day. And if you know me at all, you know the library is death to me. I walk in there. I feel the power going out from me. I walk in and I'm dragging into the library. And Amy's like, now watch the kids. And I'm like, come here, kids. I wanted to lay down and die in the library. I do not like libraries. The books suck the life out of me, I'm telling you. Oh my gosh, take me to the candy store, anywhere, but not the library. And Amy knows it, and I try every time. I'm like, okay, let's go to the library. It'll be great. And I try real hard. I walk in, and I'm not feeling it at all. I'm feeling like, get me out of here. This is an insane asylum. And so I don't like libraries. Anyway, that's just me. Okay, some people love libraries, and I bless them. Go where you like it. It's great. I'm just trying to paint a context. So I'm in this library, and I'm trying to, like, stay upright and try not to look at the clock every 2 minutes, and I'm trying to watch the girls, and I just look over at the librarian, and she is bad day in it, for sure, okay? Which, if I was the librarian, it would be a bad day every day. As soon as I walked in there, my terrible, terrible day would start. Well, you could tell she was having a bad day, and I don't like the library. I don't like the way it smells in there. Anyway, I walk over to her and I was like, she's having a bad day. And I realized that somebody on the planet likes the library. I mean, my wife does. I know Amy likes the library. I walked over to her and I said, ma'am, thank you so much for doing what you do. Like, thank you so much. Like, all these kids and being able to be here, I just really appreciate you being here because otherwise how would we be able to check out all these books? Just thank you for that. And she said, well, there's a first. And I go, oh, really? She said, I have never been thanked for doing my job in 20 years of doing my job. She said, oh, thank you. And you could just see her light, just her face lit up. She was all of a sudden, she said, that just made my day. And I'm like, I can't even believe this. Like, it was sincere because I knew somebody cared about the library. It wasn't me, but I knew somebody cared. I mean, and I'm like, I'll just thank her on behalf of them. You know, I'm like, she's just having a bad day. And it's like, it impacted her so much. I mean, I'm leaving and she's going, bye, sweetie. And I'm like, yeah. And maybe this is what I do when I'm at the library. I just go around telling people good stuff. Then I don't even have to be in a library. I can just be in the mission field, just being nice. And so I overcame. But this, it just lit this lady's life up. She was so excited. I mean, the words that came out of her mouth, she just like, I'd never seen anything like this. And I'm like, well, man, we need to get you out more because on a scale of 1 to 100, I'd call this about a -1 of a really, you know, kind act or whatever. But she was so appreciative in the midst of distraction, in the midst of it not being my favorite thing. You get the point. The Lord wants to use us as light in this world. And it is a dark, dirty, angry place out there. And this lady said to me, I've never been thanked for doing my job in 20 years. What? I am sorry. Like, there are people come in here who like this place. Why don't they thank you? My goodness. Because I don't even like this place. Okay, so let's move on. So now I want you to imagine a better world where everyone is always kind, where you're kind. It just comes easy to you. And everyone's kind to you, and it's hello, brother, and hello, sister. It's just kind land. But it's not plastic and fake, it's real. I want you to imagine this for a second, because when the fruit of the Spirit is in operation at a corporate level, it changes the atmosphere of that place. It changes the nature of those interactions. It changes, it becomes a place of refuge and a place of joy and a retreat. It becomes a place where people actually want to be. When people are living out the fruit of the Spirit together, and especially the specific fruit of kindness, the benefits are innumerable, and they're extended to the whole community. I told you earlier that the fruit of kindness, there's no end to it. That lady went home having a good day on a Wednesday. Her husband probably, when she got home that day and she was in a good mood, he was probably shocked. His jaw was probably on the floor. Why are you happy? It's a Wednesday. You hate Wednesdays. It was a fruit that just, their marriage maybe got impacted because somebody said something nice that was like this big of a deal. But kindness has that kind of an impact. Well, what about in a community like this, in the midst of our church environment? The fruit of it, the safety we feel, the, I'll tell you what, here's a great, great little benefit for all of us and me, okay? Let's say my preaching is horrible, but you had 6 kind interactions when you came. And somebody asked you later, how was church tonight? My horrible message doesn't even come up. You don't even remember. It's great. You totally forget. You're just like, oh, it was great. What was great about it? I just like being around those people. They're so kind. They're kind to me. It causes me to want to reach and be kinder in my interactions. I mean, there is fruit, but I want to tell you that there's a difference, and this is something that I've been, it's a theme that keeps coming up over the course of the last 6 months to a year, that I keep hearing about different ministries and groups. There is a massive difference between a kind people and a neutral people. And neutral is going to be default. Not angry mean, we're saved. So angry mean has gotten tempered a little bit. But the default for a community of people, the default for a church or interactions with the prayer room or a ministry, the default is going to be neutral. The default is not, I'm going to dig out of my soul and I'm going to be generous with my emotions. The default is being reserved. The default is not saying the kind thing. That's the default. And the Lord, I just believe he wants to use the weapon of the kingdom, kindness. Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 7. Look at this passage here. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in patience, and in kindness. These are the weapons he's talking about with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left. The weapons of righteousness. What are the weapons of righteousness? Things like kindness. It's a weapon. I mean, we're all fighting a war down here. One of the greatest weapons that we have is choose kindness. Be kind. Can I just give you a few little examples? And all I can do is give you examples that would show up on my list. You know what? If you wrote a list, you might come up with 5 or 6 or 8 examples that are different and even better than mine. So don't look at this as an exhaustive list of ways to show kindness, but I just want to give us just a little starter point. I just want to like expose some super simple day-to-day interaction ways to express kindness, and it's a weapon. It's a sword that cuts the librarian's anger right off. It is a sword. It is powerful. Let's give you a few of them. A warm smile. Not the smirk where one tooth shows up, got snaggletooth hanging out. You give them a warm smile. Eye contact, big, oh, hey. A warm smile. A warm smile goes a long way. I've seen it melt people before. A warm smile. A hug. I don't like giving hugs. Okay, well, find some other thing. I'm just trying to give you some examples. A helping hand. As something as simple as opening the door for that person who's got their stuff in their hands. Looking for opportunities instead of when the moment presents itself and it's kind of like, am I or not? Like, look for opportunities to open the door for somebody or whatever else would be a helping hand. I mean, just in the daily here, not even like planned, calculated, premeditated kindness. I'm just talking about just in your daily, like you can always smile at somebody. You can always open a door. You can always offer a helping hand. Hey, did that just fall down? Let me get that for you. Kindness. But it does require you to do something that you weren't going to do because your cheeks were not going to go up like this unless you exerted the muscles to go up. Like you actually have to do something. So kindness is going to require you to do stuff you weren't going to do. Reach down, grab the pencil. You know, Luke Fredenberg, I don't know how many times this guy has picked up my pen because I'm always twirling it and not very well, mind you. And it falls down, and he just constantly picks it up. And I'm just like, I just need to find another place in the room to sit so I can abuse somebody else's kindness for a while because poor Luke has picked up my pen I don't know how many times. But a helping hand, just when the moment, you know, shows up. A kind deed, an encouraging word, just a simple word. thank you and mean it. Just, that was great. I saw that thing. You're doing great. I can remember another time I was on a plane and this mom was there and she had two kids. And one of the kids, it was the first time to fly. And the toddler was the older. The toddler was all over the place. And the baby cried the whole plane ride. And people behind her were giving her looks and talking bad about her. And the flight attendant was giving her a hard time. And the person next to her just totally tuned her out and like turned this way and like ignored her or whatever. And I can just remember, I just went over at the end of the flight when I had an opportunity, because she wasn't exactly in my exact space. And I found her, and I said, you're doing good, Mom. I said, you're doing great. I said, you don't listen to any of that. You're doing great. God loves you, and you're trying so hard. It's not your fault that the kid's ears are hurting and aching, and you had to get your baby from one state to the next, and you're doing great. And she just started weeping. What did I do? I just said, you're doing great. And I said it four times in different words. You're great, you're great, you're great. And she just walked out of there feeling great. It's like, was it really that revelatory? Like, could nobody else on the plane see the, give the lady a break. She got two kids and they're freaking out. It's like, just be, give it a kind word. Just say something nice. Oh my gosh. She said, thank you. Oh my gosh. I just felt like such a burden. I said, those people don't know what they're talking about. I said, you just forget everything they said, every dirty look they gave. Shame on them. I said, you're doing great. I just, like, how, that was really simple. That wasn't revelatory. That was just, I saw something, poor lady. Like, she's carrying a bunch of groceries. Help her with the groceries. Her kids are freaking out. Tell her she's doing good. I mean, but it was so powerful. It was a sword. Could come in the form of an uplifting text or note. But it's just acts of kindness. It's intentionality. It's saying and doing stuff that's kind. And it changes the atmosphere. I'll just give you a couple of practical tips as we're trying to create a little bit of accountability here. I don't want to just teach a message and it's like, yeah, you remember when we did that one. Like, I want it to get some legs in our midst. I want it to catch and be something that we're talking about and that we're challenging one another on and that we're growing in. I'll give you a couple of ideas. Wherever you are, whether you're here, you're at work, you're waiting at the DMV, that's a great place to try to figure out kindness. If you're ever stuck there, it's time, man. Or at the library. I'd choose the DMV over the library. I'll give you a tip. Don't leave the building until you've been kind to someone. I mean, it's supposed to be what we do all the time, everywhere, all every interaction. So just have some little checkpoints. Okay, I'm at a new building. I left one building, and now I'm at another one. I was at the gas station earlier, and I couldn't leave until I was kind somehow. And it could be little. Smile at somebody. Now you're at, you know, Wendy's, you're getting lunch. Be kind to somebody. Just let buildings be a marker. I'm not leaving this building until I'm kind to somebody. That's a real simple little catching point just to try to get it in our vernacular actions a little bit. You know, kind of get it into our day-to-day. Apologize when you weren't kind. Like when you were neglectful or unkind. Like apologize. If we start calling that sort of activity sin, we'll repent of it and we'll do it less. Part of it is we get by with so much non-kindness. We are so used to not being kind that it just kind of goes unchecked in our lives. And so when we're unkind or when we're neglectful, let's say something like, I'm sorry. I should have done this. I should have said this. I should have encouraged you. I was so cold to you yesterday. I just want to be, you know, kind. I'm sorry about that. What a helpful thing. Because you know what? They probably noticed that you were cold or avoided them or whatever. They probably noticed. And the fact that you're coming and saying, I'm sorry. Like, that humility opens the door all over the place. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? Who doesn't want to be in that midst of people? What a vulnerable community. What a helpful place to be. Next, learn to actively listen to people. This is something I started doing. I was so bad at this. I would be told all the time. It was a normal thing for me to hear the following phrases regularly. You're not listening. You're just waiting for your turn to talk. I was like, well, what's wrong with that? You ain't got nothing good to say anyway. Come on, I'm just trying to get to the good stuff. You know, I know what good stuff is. I'm going to say it. And I started to realize how arrogant that is. It's so arrogant. It's so arrogant. Actively listening looks like this. They're talking, and not only are you listening, you're asking questions. You're wow, that's right. You're listening. You're actively listening. It's not just sitting there showing no emotion. Who likes to talk to that person? They're staring this way while you're talking to them. Hey, hello, hello, I'm talking to you. Actively listen. Look at them and like say, yeah, you're right. Wow, good point. Okay, ask, now what did you mean by this? That's active listening. That's so kind. People love to be actively listened to. Everybody likes to talk, but people love it when there's someone actively listening to them. Now the interactions I have where I'm being intentional about that, I don't hear that awful statement anymore. I hear kinder things said back. It's helpful. And try to respond to people with warmth. Brad, I don't even know what that means. Figure it out. If you don't know what it means to talk and to interact with warmth, with affection, with genuine, just like, oh, yeah, be there in the moment. Be there with that person with warmth, with a warm smile, with a warm heart, with a warm response. Figure out how to interact with one another with warmth. I'm telling you, it changes everything. The opposite would be cold, interacting in coldness. Yep, that's right. Done. Bye. Cold shoulder. Talk to the hand. The difference of warmth is when we're actually engaging our heart. We're trying to get our emotions involved. We're listening. We're responding in that kindness. And I just think if we can catch ourselves on a few of these points, we'll be able to generate a greater measure of kindness in this community. And the Lord loves it. He calls it one of the fruit of the fact that God's in us. It's expressions of God in us. It's so beautiful. And it softens the heart of the lost so we can minister. It softens the heart of one another. It helps us in our interactions with our families that don't get us, if any of you are in that boat. Kindness, warmth.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.